Hey, it's Tony Schiavone of AEW, and you are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
American Dream, Dusty Rhodes fans, Baby Doll. Dusty, a lot coming down, man.
Me and Baby Doll, you know, me and Baby Doll be sitting in the back watching all the excitement, you understand? You know what? Eastern Airlines is Dusty Rhodes' private coach throughout this country. Baby Doll, the most beautiful woman in professional wrestling, bar none. Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, Ric Flair, James J. Dillon, Ole Anderson, Dusty Rhodes, they all tied together. One common bond is to take the dream out. As long as I can walk, breathe, talk, whatever I need to do, you ain't taking the dream out. You ain't hurting Baby Doll. You ain't putting your hands on my lady. And you know what? I am a little bit sick now. That Pistol Pez Wallet. Let me tell you something, boy. Don't you even dare. Don't you even one time come out and talk about Boogie Woogie Man Jimmy Valiant. And for sure, don't put me in the category as boy. You don't want to even start nothing with Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. And Paul Jones, you built your army. You keep them to the self. Boogie gonna take care of business. Pez Wally, Uncle Tom, me as long as you want. I grew up with Uncle Tom, Daddy. Every day, every night, for all my life, in the gutters on the streets of Austin, Texas. Don't you Uncle Tom me, Nighthawk or nobody. You heard what I got to say about it, and you better remember. And Tully Blanchard, the national heavyweight champion. Arn Anderson, Baby Doll got one request. Break your jaw.
Okay, fans, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Your shows, your entertainment, and your network. This is Rant EM Radio.
Remember, what this network wants, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on Rant EM Radio. Proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
What's up, party people? What is this, episode 490 of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks? First one of the new year. How is everybody doing? I hope everybody's doing well. If you're watching this on YouTube, I apologize. I have the glasses on because I was reading some shit. And I'm tired from reading because I was actually in class for a couple hours today. I was I'm interning to become an instructor to teach EMT students. So it was like my first day. I didn't want to like mess up. So I was there early and reading stuff and making sure my protocols were good and stuff like that. So doing that and just prepping maybe for a future gig, you know. It's so weird. It kind of inspired me to do this today because I've been uninspired to do anything since the last time I did an episode was right before Christmas last year, and then I got really sick for like a month and a half. There was like, I had a UTI, I had borderline pneumonia, I had so much double ear infection, like stupid shit, like, but I was wrapped up and like exhausted. So then February came and I just lost interest in. I had stuff written down. Like, I had stuff planned. Like, I was going to do a Hulkamania 40th anniversary. I had a Saturday Night's Main Event I wanted to do. I still might do the Flair Steamboat thing for Wrestle War. Like, it's the anniversary of like the three matches. I guess like 35 years, whatever it is. I forget. But there's so much that's gone on since I've not done an episode, right? Like, you had, you know, the whole Vince thing with the scandal, and he's gone, and Punk jumping ship and then getting hurt, the Rock shit now with the Bloodline, AEW doing some fantastic stuff with, and then Sting obviously retiring last week. I watch every week. Like, I don't watch Raw for obvious reasons, unless it's after an event. And even then, I skip through and shit, right? I watch SmackDown because I'm basically home on Fridays. Thursdays, I come in. That's my early day from work. I come home. I put my cousin Richie on. By the way, spanning the globe every Thursday with my cousin Richie and Mark and his crew. And it's a good watch. That whole belt. That subculture of championship belts collecting, that culture is, it's intriguing to say the least. Like, just the whole process just to get one stuff made and aftermarket stuff, what the guys are buying, what to look for, and it's such a lot of it. Like, every time I listen, I watch every Thursday night. Like, I'll put Ring of Honor on the TV and mute it, or I'll put Impact on, or I'll catch up on New Japan, and I'll watch my cousin and his crew, you know, and just the stuff that goes on is just, it's so fascinating, you know, but this is why I love the community, and I met so many friends in the community because of the podcast, and I'm very thankful for that. So I keep saying I'm sorry for not doing a show, but I don't want to do it half-assed, you know? And I don't want to be that guy. So losing my co-hosts, you know, is no longer an excuse. I should, you know, shit a girl off the pot. You know, I should try to get either don't do the show or get new co-hosts or do it by myself. I mean, I always have options. This is what it is. I'm doing this almost 12 years. So I don't really, I mean, I'll always have an audience, and I'm super blessed for that, right? So I was uninspired to record. I love wrestling. It's in my DNA. I'll be Mania's 40 years old this year, and I got real nostalgic recently with some people, and I was like, that's my wheelhouse, man. I was 11 years old that first Mania. My Aunt Joanne getting the tape, the VHS tape, from her coworker who lived in Long Island in the suburbs here in New York, because we didn't have cable, and they recorded it. And then I sat in her living room one day after school, and I was like mesmerized by this event. And I was almost 2 years in watching wrestling. But now it's 40 years old, and I'll be in Philly Mania weekend. I'm not going to Mania, though, but I'll be at a ton of events, and probably the con, too. I think that's what the boys are talking about. We got like 5 shows we're going to. Some Joshi shows and GCW, and I think Rob Feinstein's promotion, Battleground. Well, I think he's involved in it, or he runs it, I forget, but it's at the arena, so it's like when in Rome, you know. But I love wrestling, and I'm still, even though the rant is no longer a thing, I'm still with them every day, and the Wizards are still doing their thing, and we have a whole bunch of peers that are still doing their thing, and I'm very grateful. But for me, it's just, I'm in transition, working on a second career, trying to keep my hobby, trying to stay busy, because I've had a lot of downtime, a ton of downtime, and I just refuse to record. I just didn't want to do it. But I've had so much downtime that, I'm almost guilty that I didn't do anything. So I'm going to put this on YouTube, and probably convert it to an audio file, make it an episode so you guys can download it. You know, who wants to watch me talk for an hour or a half hour, whatever it is. So, you know, It's like a State of the Union, State of the Podcast, I guess. And it's like, you know, the card's subject to change. You know, it's how wrestling is. But there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of great stuff going on. And I think in every Fed, every major Fed, even like the Indies, there's really cool shit going on. There's something for everybody. And the options are always there. I'm also turned off by like the negativity on social media. There's a lot of people like who are not nice on social media. Like I forget what happened. They went after, like, they go after people like personally, like they go after their families. Like it's insane what fans will do to get noticed on social media, right? Maybe because I'm old now, but even if I was 20 years old, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can allow myself to be that kind of person. It's ridiculous, you know? But yeah, so a lot of cool stuff. A&E's got the whole rival thing going on. That's great. I love that. There's new ones tonight. I saw the Sarge one last week. Dark Side of the Ring is back. The John Tenta episode is awesome. If you don't know John Tenta's stuff before he was Earthquake, look him up, you know. There's so much that went on since I've been absent that, I have strong feelings about it, strong opinions, I should say, about some of these things. Like, you know, I don't get wrapped up in like, the rating shit. I don't get wrapped up in what's better, because every Fed's got their thing. Like, every Fed is either failing at something or they're really, really, really good at something. And you have to understand, too, it's like, it's the perspective of the fan. There are fans who just, there's one person that we're cool with, that this person will go online and will post real hateful memes and videos about how bad AEW is, that, and they're very liberal, so they're anti-Trump too. So it's either they hate Trump or they hate AEW. And I'm like, you have too much free time on your hands to really. First of all, that hate thing is, I don't like that word. Like, I used to use it a lot, but it's like, I don't hate people. Like, I hate things. Like, I don't hate people though. You, as a fan, you should find fault with everything, right? Like I complained last week about the 5-hour AEW pay-per-views that they have. You know, you mean to tell me it takes fucking 5 hours to have 9 matches? That's including the pre-show. But this is what they do. Like, it's almost like it's old hat now, you know? So either you watch it or you don't watch it, you know? The stuff with the Bloodline, either you watch in WWE, whether you watch it or you don't watch it. Cody story, you watch it or you just don't watch it. No one's gonna fault you for not watching or watching something. Like, it's to each his own, right? It's very passive aggressive of me to say that, because I watch everything. Why would I limit myself? Like, I'm a sports fan and I have my favorite sports teams. But when my sports teams aren't playing, am I going to stop watching? There are some people who do. That's the casual fan. That's wonderful. Because I talk to casual fans about sports and wrestling all the time. And the casual fan is the fan that you like to interact with, because they don't know what's going on. They don't follow other teams or other feds or other things. It's like, I'm only a Met fan. I'm only a Yankee fan. I'm only a Knicks fan. I'm only a Jets fan. Like, but they don't follow the other division or the league. But it's like, you don't have to. You don't have to be a nerd like me, you know? But that's what makes the world go round. Opinions. I mean, opinions are like assholes, right? Everybody has them. Some of them stink. Doesn't give you the right to shit on somebody else for their opinion, you know? Just a PSA, you know? You just try to keep it light now on social media handles, you know? I can't really get into all that stuff. I don't have the energy. I really don't. Like, mentally, I don't have the energy to justify why I like or dislike something. I don't have to. You know what I'm saying? Neither do you. Neither does anybody. So with that being said, I really hope everybody's doing well. Some of you talk to me all the time, and some of you don't. This is part of life. The people I don't talk to normally, I hope you guys are all doing well. Hope you guys are healthy and happy. Hope your families are good. I hope your lives are good. Hope everybody's surviving in this inflation. I call it the inflation sensation. I'm not gonna get political, but like everything's expensive now, especially here in New York. Like it's, I paid $9 for a fucking tub of butter. Like I just the giant size. I'm like, oh, thank God I only replace this every couple of months. But hope everybody's surviving. You know, and no matter what part of the coin what party you root for and who you vote for in November, I just hope it all works for the country. You know, whatever way we go. But, yeah, so I'm excited about what's going on with wrestling. I'm excited about spring training. Baseball's coming. Hockey playoffs are coming. Very excited about that. Still in my Strat League. I got my draft next week. My team was terrible this year, so I got the number one pick. I don't feel that bad because, like, the number one pick, the guy who finished next to last, it was only like two or three games, so I wasn't terrible, terrible. I was like, we played 56 games. I think I won 20 games, and I think he won like 23 games or something like that. I forget, but so I have the number one pick. So I'm like, I'm doing my draft prep. Do I draft the best player available, or do I draft a need? Right, that's the big deal. I was having this conversation with Will just now about that on the phone. Like, what do I do? You know, I'll figure that out. I got a whole week now, another week to figure that out. So, weather's getting a little warmer here in New York. A lot of rain. No snow again this winter. We had a couple of snow, but nothing. Again, no significant snowfall. This is like a couple of years, so we've been really lucky. Today was the spring ahead, daylight saving. So, everybody's going to complain about the hour of sleep they lost this week. This happens every year, people. I get to work tomorrow. Oh, I'm so tired. I lost an hour of sleep. I was watching a UFC fight last night, and I fell asleep like at 10:30. I was like, as soon as it started, I was so happy because I'm a very casual UFC guy. But the main event, I wanted to watch. So I'm in bed. I set up the gimmick. I'm messing around on my phone, and I'm waiting for this. The first match comes on. By 10:30, I'm asleep. I woke up to go to the bathroom. It was over already. The whole thing was over. Like 1:30, whatever it was. But before I went to bed, I turned the clocks ahead. Like, lose an hour, gain an hour. It's all bullshit. It's all in your mind. You know? Started doing some spring cleaning, even though it wasn't spring yet here. A lot of things get cluttered. Like, I live in a one-bedroom apartment, so I had to purge a lot of shit. And what I did was I bought storage. And because every time my mom would come over, she'd be like, you have a dining table. I'm like, yeah, it's like a little bench in the corner I have here. And she's like, you know, you don't even use it for dining. I'm like, no, I play Strat on it. I use my dad's fucking 30-year-old snack trays that I eat my dinners on, you know. She's like, well, it doesn't look up. And then the more she said it, the more it annoyed me. She doesn't come here very often, but when she does, she makes it known to me that it's aesthetically not, you know, fit. It's not looking good, you know. So finally, I got my balls twisted. I bought storage, and I did that. And just, you know, trying to be a little cleaner. You know, after being sick for like a month and a half, I'm trying to be better in terms of my diet. Not this weekend. I pigged out this weekend. But moderation. I'm trying to like eat less. Trying to watch what I eat. I had to get my teeth cleaned like last week, was it? Or a week before? And I was in so much pain afterwards. Like, wow. These guys, we have a lot of tartar. I'm like, oh. So now I'm like, fanatically brushing my teeth now a couple of times a day, just making sure I don't fucking have to go through that again. I'm like, oh. And it's like, oh, we found two cavities, and one of them we might, you know, if you let it go, we'll need root canal. I'm like, I shouldn't be pushing 50 and need cavities. I need to, like, slow down and take better care of myself, you know. That's the thing, too, man. If you're a little older, don't let things go. Just address them. Seriously, like, anything medically, address it, especially if you're older. Even if you're not, if you're over 40 or you're hitting 40 and there's a, you know, and you don't go to a doctor normally, go get a checkup. Seriously, get a checkup. Too many people, I just lost a friend, like, we talked about losing my buddy last October, and there was nothing wrong with him, like, until he got sick. But he wasn't a guy who went to the doctor. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't that dude. That's just how he was, though. And, like, and it doesn't, it's not an excuse, really. I'm not trying to stick up for him, but, like, this is the problem with the world. Like, no one addresses anything until it gets bad. And I preventive maintenance, it's almost like when you have a car and it's an older car. So you make sure your oil is changed, your tires are good, your fucking fluids are in there, right? Your body's the same way. Your body's like a car. It's going to break down. So preventive maintenance, man. Like, it sucks being a grown-up. It really, really does. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just how it's been. And I'm just trying to be positive, you know. Seen my therapy sessions, got more, doing more of that, and I'm just working on my well-being, my mental health, which is really important, because I struggle with that a lot, for various reasons, but I started doing it more, switching spots where I was doing it, I'm doing it somewhere else, and it's worked out, you know, so where I'm like, I feel much better about things that I'm approaching. That's another reason why I'm doing this today, because I feel better talking about certain things, you know. But I want to keep doing the podcast. I don't want to stop doing it, you know. I was thinking about going, like, doing it every 2 weeks. If I do it alone, I maybe just maybe auditioning for a new co-host. The problem with the co-hosting, besides me missing my yin and yang with Choppy and then Jay and then both of them, right? Like, I feel like the person I do it with, I don't want to say I held my guys to a standard and we kept it going for so long and then life happened. Not to say that's going to happen again. That would happen to anybody because, you know, these guys are young. They're younger than me. They got married and they got kids and, you know, Choppy's industry fucking was on strike for a hot minute. So, like, he's looking to get dough. Like, he can give a shit about the fucking podcast, right? So, I didn't want to go through the whole thing of holding people to a standard and be like, getting disappointed again. But that's just part of one of the things I'm working on with me. Like, you know what? It's not all about you. You know, other people have shit going on, you know. So, and rightfully so. Like, who am I, right? Fucking nobody, you know. Fucking fat kid from Queens doing a podcast. That's all I am. So, that's going to be on the agenda. Because I have so many things I want to talk about. You know, I've gotten some footage and I found DVDs in storage that when I was cleaning that I found so many things that I could talk about now. And like, and I have like raw footage. I don't have to go on Peacock where it's cut up and the music's different and all this other shit. I have like the original stuff. I was getting a VCR repaired to play some VHS tapes that I have, but the piece that I could get, they couldn't fix it or whatever it was. So I'm going to do that, maybe get a VCR, play some of these tapes, you know.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at MarkOrderPod and use the hashtag JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcast, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday night on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
What else can I say? Like I said, it's been a deal. I don't, you know, part of me feels terrible about not doing it, and part of me doesn't. Like, part of me feels like I've been doing it for so long, and for free, by the way, you know. Like, Don Tony came back with Kevin Castle while I was on a little bit of a hiatus, so those are my guys, you know, those are my mentors. So I'm happy that they hooked up, because Kevin's very active on social media, so is DT. So for them to come back, you know, like, this is what our community needs. We need voices like that, you know. But just voices that'll, even if they're biased, they're respectful about it. And I think that's another difference too with people. Like, they have a bias to a certain Fed or a certain league or a certain performer, right? But they don't use common sense when they talk. Like, they'll be vulgar about it, and they'll be obnoxious about it, and they'll they'll disrespect people who don't agree with them, and like, and you see this all the time. You're like, I don't have the energy. You know, I saw our buddy John Draper. He was online the other day, and someone, like, really, like, said something to the point, like, well, his family must hate him. Like, something like, he's like, you're insufferable. He called John an insufferable cunt. So, that in itself, that word, that's not used here in the States a lot. So, it's got to be an overseas person that did that. You're an insufferable cunt. And your family must hate you. So I immediately was like, whoa. And I was going to, like, I was ready to type something, and then I stopped and I deleted it. And I was like, what does his family have to do with anything that he's talking about? He's talking about professional wrestling. His family is not involved in what he does extracurricularly. His family doesn't podcast with him. His family doesn't post about wrestling. You know, John isn't. John's got to be, if I'm almost 50, John's like at least a couple of years, at least 4 or 5 years older than I am. But like, him and Kev are like, you know, they're like the OGs of this shit, you know? So whether they're wrong or they're right, indifferent, doesn't matter. Like, it's just, you learn to respect other people's opinions. Like, you don't have to like them. You definitely have to agree with them. But, like, to say shit like that, like, oh, your family must hate you. What the fuck is wrong with you, man? What's wrong with you? You know? Like, it's, it ain't that serious, man. It's wrestling. It's wrestling. It's beautiful. I love wrestling. Had some of the boys over last week for the pay-per-view for AEW. And we were talking. And I was complaining about the length, though, like I said before, right? And my one buddy was like, dude, get over it. They've been doing the same thing for the last 4 or 5 years. It's what they do. Get over it. You were at a pay-per-view that was 5 hours last year. We went to the one that was in Newark. Get over it. He's right. I'm over it. Maybe I'll complain about it next month again. I did complain about the schedule, though. Like, they can't, like, you know, if you're going to do a bunch of events, do a monthly. Don't do 2 in 1 month, and don't do 2 in 3 weeks. Like, do a monthly one. People were complaining about the buy rates. The buy rates are, like, between 1 and 200,000. I don't have the exact numbers. I don't care. Because wrestling in a whole is not as, I don't want to say popular, it's not as mainstream as it was 25 years ago, where it dominated television, where it was the focal point of a certain night of the week. It's not like that no more. Even if you did have the same shows, even if these two guys were competing on a certain night, I don't even think that would be an issue anymore. If the ratings would flip-flop in terms of what was going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think, I just my opinion, I don't think it would be as insane. Like, 2 million people were viewing every week 25 years ago. You know, I'm watching Raw and Nitro, and then I'm flipping back and forth between commercials, and then at 11 o'clock, excuse me, at 11 o'clock, I'm recording Nitro because I want to watch the whole thing because they replayed Nitro. They didn't replay Raw. But TNT would replay Nitro, and I would tape Nitro, and I would have both shows. I was taping Raw, but I was flipping back and forth. So if you look at some of my videotapes, it's just me flipping the channels in between commercials. Getting the full Raw, but not getting the full Nitro. Doesn't mean I liked Nitro more than I liked Raw. I just liked what was going on a certain week, whatever, and I was just flip-flopping. I love, there's so many cool things that are going on, though, like, you know, Eddie Kingston's killing it right now, Okada's now there, Ospreay is now in AEW, you know, we're seeing a transition with certain character building, with certain guys, you know, You know, I do like what they're doing with Gunther and WWE. I like what they're doing with some of it with Cody. I'm not, you know, they had to get, that's why they have it for two nights now. For these reasons, you can have these little mini feuds to lead up to a bigger match, and now you have two nights. So, and I'm kind of like contradicting, because I'm like, you know, I'm all about the story. You guys know that, right? Like, tell me a good story, tell me a good story. And then there are nights where I'm like watching AEW, and I'm like, I don't give a shit about the story. This match is incredible. There's no rhyme or reason to this match. They just put it on to have for the sake of putting it on, and it's fucking phenomenal, right? So, like, New Japan's in transition now. What's going to happen? No one knows. No one knows. You know, they lost a lot of guys. They gained some guys. Ziggles is there now. He's a champion. Matt Riddle's there. He's a champion. Jack Perry, who, he's terrible, but he joined. He's basically in Bullet Club now with House of Torture. A great value Raven, I called him the other day. But transitions, you know, trends, certain things that that are allowing talent to showcase somewhere else. Excuse me. But yeah, and I like, it depends on the person, obviously, the performer. I like the progression, you know, like, I'm not into Joshi, but I'm going to a bunch of Joshi shows. I don't follow any of the storylines, but a lot of those girls are real talented. So for me to sit through a 2-hour show live, I know I'm going to get entertained. If I knew some of the stories, which I probably will by the time I get to Philly, I have something to look forward to. It's almost like when I was a kid reading a storyline of a comic book, especially with Spider-Man. Like, you know, there was the Amazing Spider-Man, Spectacular Spider-Man, Web of Spider-Man. There are like four or five different Spider-Mans. But if there was a story that I liked, I couldn't wait till the next month. Couldn't. Or you couldn't wait for Saturdays when you were a kid. For WWE, WWF, or NWA 605 on a superstation if you had cable, right? Or if you're in the Midwest, you had AWA, which, I mean, every region had good shit going on. Texas with the Von Erichs and WCCW. Every Fed had something significant, and you couldn't wait to get that next week. And even though some of that is missing now, it's still the basis to what's going on now. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. I've been up since 6 o'clock this morning. But, yeah, it's you look forward to it, you know. And even just now with the pay-per-views, like, it's like, you know, we get the big four at the E. But when AEW, for us, for AEW, it's just the crew getting together. Everybody comes here. We get food. We make a deal out of it. It's an event. Because we know AEW is going to come correct when it comes to some of their main events on these pay-per-view shows. Like, you're going to get quality with WWE, with the Survivor Series or SummerSlam or Mania or the Rumble. You're going to get something significant, and it's awesome. I loved that I'm this age and I'm still looking forward to it. I love that I can pick and choose who I'm going to invest emotionally in, you know? I may not buy all the t-shirts no more. I may not go to all the events anymore. But you know I'm there every week watching. And if I'm not watching it live, I'm streaming it or I'm downloading it somewhere. So to make it an event is very cool. That's what I like about it, with the crew getting together and everybody's excited. And, you know, And Mickey said something. Mickey the Greek said something the other day. Matter of fact, I'm going to pull it up because we were talking about the five-hour pay-per-views. And I was complaining about it, but Mickey said something. We have a group chat. Where is it? Let's see. I want to pull it up because we do a lot of nitpicking as fans. We do. All of us do. Because we like what we like. If you're a fan of a sports team and they're not doing the right thing, you pick and choose and you're like, all right. They got bad defense. Their coach is terrible. They're not hitting. They're not shooting the puck more. They're not throwing the football more. Like, so Mickey wrote, and I'm going to quote him, and he said, I tried to stop myself from nitpicking and enjoy the show as the best I can. Because honestly, it distracts me from other stuff going on in my life. I can watch this with good friends like you guys. So it's a net positive for me. So he takes the experience of being with us as him forgetting about nitpicking. A lot of times my glass is very pessimistic. It's a lot of times with wrestling. So my glass is always half empty. But I'm learning to patience in everything. Because I feel like I don't have enough patience. You know? Back in the day, it took sometimes a year to build guys up. You know? But back then, it wasn't as advanced as it was now. And there weren't any live TV every week. There was all taped, you know, house shows and stuff like that. So, what do you do? Do what Mickey did. Enjoy it. And I've said this for years. I can watch a terrible event on TV or a terrible episode of whatever episodic shows are on weekly. And even if the booking is bad, I'll pick something good out of it. Whether it's a promo or a good match or running or something or a bad finish or a dusty finish or a cliffhanger. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can adjust. And I love that I could still emotionally invest like that. So it's for me it's fun, and I just don't know when that those come. It's few and far between, like, you know, like there's certain guys I'll invest in, certain girls I'll invest in, and I'll always invest in them. Even when they have shitty characters or they have shitty matches going on at the person they're with, at the program they're doing is bad. Like, you know, I'll give you an example. I love Adam Cole, but I don't like what's going on because A, he's not on TV. He's hurt. And B, it just feels like what he had at NXT, it's just like a, you know. But I love all the guys he's with. Like, I love Roddy. You know, I love Mike Bennett. You know, Wardlow I do like. I liked him when MJF was giving him a hard time. So, I guess when MJF comes back from being beat up, you know, hopefully with that will come to a really good head and justify the loss I'm feeling for that particular stable, right? Like in New Japan. Like, Bullet Club, I was having this conversation with the boys. Bullet Club really got some bangers in their crew, but that House of Torture sub faction is fucking horrendous, and they got good talent in there, but it's horrendous. All they do is cheat, and they don't even tell good stories about it no more. You know, so if you're gonna cheat every match, at least, you know, do the right thing and build something with it. You know. Cheat for a reason, you know. I think that's why I liked heels growing up too, because like those guys were so talented they didn't have to cheat, but they did because they were heels. So you almost expected them to do something stupid, but then you also expected them to finally fall to the hero. You know, that was the disappointment of guys that win titles all the time. Like when Hogan was on top. You know, I remember thinking, wow, maybe Terry Funk can beat him, and Funk fought him, or maybe One Man Gang, or Stud, or Bundy, or in my case, Orndorff. I love Paul Orndorff. You know, like, these guys were all talented, and you thought they were gonna beat him, but they never beat him, and rightfully so, because it was the thing to do. Hogan was on top. Hogan was the man. But when you're 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, you're like, maybe he should win a title. You know, maybe I wanted Bundy to win at 2, and I wanted Andre to win at 3, but you know it didn't make any sense if they did, right? But, you know, looking back, it was something to look forward to, and these guys built themselves up. Like, you know, it's funny how Bundy went from being the main event at WrestleMania 2 to squashing little people at WrestleMania 3. Like, that whole year, that calendar year, he went from a main eventer to a mid-card guy. Like, that's what happens back then, you know? Looking back, you're like, oh, wow. I didn't think of it like that, but, yeah. You know? So, there are a lot of guys that fell off. And not because they were bad, just because of circumstance or because of the booking and who they were bringing in, who they weren't bringing in, who left, who didn't leave, who got in trouble, didn't get in trouble. Like, you know, it's that kind of party, you know? Stuff that you learn now as an adult when you watch all these shoot videos and you read all these books that wrestlers put out now. I wasn't there because of A, B, and C. You know, like when I asked Dan Hansen why he beat up Lex Luger and took his title but then never came back, I didn't know his wife was pregnant. You know, I didn't know until he told me, until him and his wife told me I was pregnant. I had to go home. And I was like, I don't want to hear that when I was 15. I wanted him to kick Luger's ass after he won the U.S. title. You know? But, again, like, stuff that you find out, you know? I didn't know that after Bruno broke his neck, he was like, I don't want the title anymore. I need a break. Like, a break. I wasn't even a fan of I wasn't even, I was a baby when that happened, but reading about it, you're like, wow. But then hearing about it on Bruno's documentary last year, you're like, oh, wow. Makes sense, right? So those are things that, you know, just to build up the stories and having that perspective of it, you know? When WWE does these rival things, like I'm watching now, when they deep dive into a rivalry, right? In the moment, you don't, when you're a kid, there's certain things you won't see. Like, I remember there's a lot of kids that, like, I shouldn't say kids, they're grown men and women now, but when they were in grade school 25 years ago, you know, they didn't realize what was going on Monday nights. And when they finally had an idea, stuff was already done. I was in my 20s, and I was like, all right, I was invested, but I was going to ECW as well, and I was going to indie shows, but these rivalries, you know, when they dig, I like the perspective now of the performers, ones that are alive, rest in peace the ones that have passed on, but, like, you know, a lot of guys won't change their story. Like, you talk to Jake Roberts, when you hear Jake Roberts talk, it's like, he ain't changing the story. You know, Hogan changes the story. That's another podcast. I don't, you know, but there's certain guys that just, they found God, or they got old and sick, or they're bitter about the business. Someone said to me the other day when I posted about Wyndham and Rotundo getting into the Hall of Fame. What a Hall of Fame class this year you got so far. Wyndham and Rotundo, Paul Heyman, and Bull Nakano. How about that? I'm very excited about the Hall of Fame this year. But someone said, oh, that's another thing. That's what the whole trigger, the whole Draper thing was, the U.S. Express. I'm like, do you guys realize that whole card at the first WrestleMania could basically be in the Hall of Fame? Just as performers, that event can be, that whole event can be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Just for the significance of what it costs to do it, the chance that Vince took, invested in it, and bet the farm on it, come to find out, it was like his life savings, and and all this shit. He took a shot at it, and then became the granddaddy. It became the sports entertainment event of the ages. 40 years later, despite all of his shortcomings, it was the best thing he ever did. I mean, these are things that you look forward to. And when you were a kid, they came every year and you're like, wow, they built these stories, and like the whole thing with Savage winning the title at the tournament, and then him and Hogan becoming a team, then breaking up the team, and then, oh my God, I just watched the Sergeant Slaughter stuff, and I just seeing Slaughter talk about what his family went through after he won the title and then became an Iraqi sympathizer. Like, listen, man, my uncle was there, okay? My uncle was in Iraq at Desert Storm. My brother did two tours in the Middle East. My brother-in-law did a couple tours in the Middle East. Like, all Marines. As a 15-year-old, you were like, this is really messed up. As a almost 50-year-old, like, man, just to hear his family, what they went through with the whole death threats, and he lost his wife over it. Like, his wife broke up. I mean, they're still together, but they broke up because of it. Like, it was, like, insane, you know? But these things you hold near and dear to you, and you look, this is why I still want to keep doing the podcast. You just hold that stuff near and dear to you. I was talking to my mom, and I was like, I can remember what you were wearing that night when I watched this or that. I can't remember what I had for dinner 2 days ago, but I remember who was in the room, whatever event we saw, or I can remember what we did that day. You know, I could just remember all that shit. To have that memory, to have those memories just last a lifetime. And that's why I always look forward to the big events, because the build-up to these things was so monumental to me, between the magazines and the weekly shows. And again, nothing was live except for the pay-per-view. Nothing was live. Everything was taped, was built up through house shows and whatever. And you know, didn't have cable, so you had to rely on whatever resource you can get. And the perspectives are different of these magazines, and you know, obviously the announcers were biased. Who's the heel announcer, who's the face announcer, you know, it's like, but it always told a good story. So I still have the discussion with people about why I still watch, and I always compare it to a ballet or a Broadway show. I'm like, this is how I look at it. You know, I look at it as, you know, how you guys would go to a Broadway show or a ballet or a play, and you say, well, so-and-so did really well as that character. So-and-so did really well as that character. And that's how I do it. So-and-so really did it well in the ring tonight. Or didn't do well, you know. Or so-and-so is going to be good in the ring. And is going to have those matches, you know. And so-and-so is too old and can't move like they used to anymore. You know. But that's why I was so mad at Sting last week. Not mad at Sting, but I was mad that they did like the whole garbage deathmatch shit with them in the Bucks, you know. Understanding that story you told, understanding this was how Sting wanted it, I just would have hoped it would have been different, you know. But they put him out, they put him over, and he went out on his own terms, and I love Sting. And I, even though I didn't want to see him in the ring the last couple of years of his life, that's just my opinion. I'm not saying it wasn't good or bad, I was just indifferent. I'm glad he went on his own like that, you know. So, and if you're a fan, if you're a good fan, and I've had this conversation already, being what is a good fan? And I'm not gonna get into that again, but if you're a good fan, and I mean a good fan, like you will appreciate something out of whatever you're watching, out of an event, TV show. You'll pick out something that's good. And remind yourself of why you still watch and why you still pay attention and why you have the time to post hateful shit on social media about it, you know? Or don't post hateful shit on social media about it. That in itself is the whole basis of being a fan. You know, we all mark out for our guys and girls. We do. We're marks. All of us. It's okay. Some people think it's a bad word. I don't think it's a bad word. I think it's a word that was initially used as negativity with the talent amongst themselves. But for us, it's like, if you want to be a mark for somebody, good. That means you're invested. That means you like that person. Who's your top five? Who's your top ten? Who's in your Mount Rushmore? I like the Mount Rushmores of or people posting their top fives or their top tens. You know? Mine might fluctuate. It'll be the same people. But depending on my mood, they may be number four instead of number one that week. But they're still the same guys. It's consistent. I'm consistent in terms of that. That's pretty much all I'm consistent about. You know? But yeah, I just wanted to come on here and talk to you guys. I'm going to make a video, and then I'm probably going to convert it. But I just wanted to come on and talk to you guys about this. And say hello, and I miss all you guys. And I don't know when I'm going to do another show. I just know that I still want to do it. But it's got to be on my terms, and it has to be with someone, hopefully, that I could vibe with and rock with. And if it's not, I have to do it on my own and do my due diligence and dig up the material and put some more stuff out. So please support all of the other endeavors on the Shining Wizards Network, especially the Wizards and all, and whatever shows they have going on. There's a lot of good shows on there. There's links to everything on turnbuckletrowbacks.com. You can find me on social media. I'm not hard to find. If you want to email me, it's turnbuckletrowbacks1@gmail.com. I'm on Instagram. We're on X, is it called now? It's not called Twitter no more. I still call it Twitter. Gives a shit, right? We're on all that stuff. Hit me up. Let me know what you want to. Let me know give me some good ideas for show topics. Maybe we'll revisit stuff that I've done already. And give my perspective instead of somebody else's, or do something that I haven't covered yet. But I want to hear from you guys. And like I said, I hope everybody's doing well. I miss you guys. Love you guys, too. I hope you have a great rest of your week. What's coming up? Let's see. We got Mania next month, but I think... is there anything else going on this month? Or just the New Japan Cup is going on, the tournament? I haven't watched any. They just started a couple days ago, so I'll watch tomorrow. And this is the time on the way to work now, where I'm up at 5 in the morning. I'm going to work, and I can watch the tail end of it on the bus because it's live from Japan. So hopefully the next time I come on, I'll have a full report. But sincerely, hit me up. Don't forget to support my cousin Richie, Spanning the Globe, World of Belts. Every Thursday night on Facebook, they have they stream live through Facebook and on YouTube. So support those guys, and that's pretty much it, man. I'm out. Love you guys. Have a good rest of your week, and I'll talk to you soon. And keep watching wrestling. Watch all the wrestling you can, including the old stuff, because it's dope. Love you guys. Peace out.